Om Gyanatumarandasa Jananjana Salakaya Chaksulamiratam Jena Tasmahi Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Tvapandantikam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16. Today we will read text 6 and continue to read through text 10. Api vaditayo abhyeta kutumbasaktaya tvaya griha apujita yata pratyutanena va kvachit apivatitayo bhyetya kutumba saktaya tvaya Grihad apujita yataha pratyutane navakvachit apivatitayo vyetya kutumba saktaya tvaya Grihad apujita yata Pratyutane navakvachit Whether, va, either, atitayo, guests who come without an invitation, abhyetya, coming to the home, kutumba ashaktaya, who were too attached to the family members. Tvaya, by you, grihat, from the house, apujitaha, without being properly welcomed, jataha, went away, pratyutanena, by standing up, va, either, kvachit, sometimes, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I wonder whether, because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests, who therefore were not welcomed and went away. Purport. It is the duty of a householder to receive guests, even if a guest be an enemy. When a guest comes into one's home, one should properly receive him. Does anyone know how?
Sitting place and washing
feet. Someone said sitting place and washing his feet.
Or some glass of water, something to eat, sweet words.
When a guest comes to one's home, one should properly receive him by standing up and offering him a seat. Not that you shouldn't do the other things. It is enjoined, Grihe Shatrum Api Praptam Vishvastam Akotobayam. If even an enemy comes to one's home, one should receive him in such a way that the guest will forget that his host is an enemy. According to one's position, one should properly receive anyone who comes to one's home. At least a seat and a glass of water should be offered, so that the guest will not be displeased. Kashyap Muni inquired from Aditi whether disrespect had been shown to such guests or atitis. The word atithi refers to one who comes without an invitation. Next text. Griheshu yeshvatitayo narchita sarilayar api yadi niryanti te nunam feru raja griho pamaha. Homes from which guests go away without having been received even with an offering of a little water are like those holes in the field which are the homes of jackals. Purport. In a field there may be holes made by snakes and mice, but when there are very big holes, it may be supposed that jackals live there. Certainly no one goes to take shelter in such homes. Thus, the homes of human beings where atithis, uninvited guests, are not properly received are like the homes of jackals. Apiagnayastu vehilayam nahutu havishashati tvayo dvigna dia badre proshite mahi karhichit. O chaste and auspicious woman, when I left home for other places, were you in so much anxiety that you did not offer oblations of ghee into the fire? Yat pujaya kama dugan yati lokan grihan vitaha brahmanognis chavai vishno sarva devat mano mukam. By worshipping the fire and the brahmanas, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets, for the sacrificial fire and the brahmanas are to be considered the mouth of Lord Vishnu, who is the supersoul of all the demigods. Purport. According to the Vedic system, a fire sacrifice is held in order to offer oblations of ghee, grains, fruits, flowers, and so on, so that Lord Vishnu may eat and be satisfied. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Patram pushpan phalantoyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Therefore, all these items may be offered in the sacrificial fire, and Lord Vishnu will be satisfied. Similarly, Brahmana Bhojana, feeding of the Brahmanas, is also recommended. For when Brahmanas eat sumptuous remnants of food after yajna, this is another way that Lord Vishnu himself eats. Therefore, the Vedic principles recommend that in every festival or ceremony one offer oblations to the fire and give sumptuous food for the Brahmanas to eat. By such activities, a householder may be elevated to the heavenly planets and similar places in the higher planetary systems. Text 10. Api sarve kushalinas tava putramanashvini lokshaye svastam atmanam bhavatya lakshanairaham. O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so? Panchakapitru vaishchakipasindu bivachapatitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So this is the chapter, the Payavrata process of worship. These are the questions which Kasyapa Muni is asking Aditi. And they contain important moral instructions for us. Morality is in itself not the essence of spiritual life, but it is so important. Because these are the guidelines through which spiritual activities will be easily executed. We talk about the behavior. What is the word for behavior? Achar. The sat-achar, pure behavior of a devotee. It's one of the symptoms, 26 symptoms we see of a pure devotee. In fact, these symptoms are so important that Srila Prabhupada wrote them out and had them posted in the original temple in New York. He wanted his disciples to understand the behavior, the sadachar, that was characteristic of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it is said that for one who surrenders unto Krishna, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, samaigunas tatra samasate sudaha. Anyone who becomes a devotee of the Lord develops all the good qualities of demigods. Demigods are sura, they are devotees. So moral instructions have always been given. The Mahabharata is especially full of so many moral instructions, and so are all the Puranas, not only the Mahabharata. The Bhagavad Purana also. We see when we read Prabhupada's purports, he gives so many instructions or anecdotes or statements about Vedic culture. And although sometimes devotees may think that it is superficial, it is helpful. Sometimes I see people come to our temple room not dressed in dhotis. So it may seem like, or saris, it may seem like a inconvenience to put on a dhoti or sari, but the fact is it has so much benefit, you see. To daily put on a dhoti or sari, it reminds us of our spiritual identity. Actually, during Srila Prabhupada's time, I never saw a disciple go in front of Prabhupada or in the temple room without wearing a dhoti or sari. No one ever thought to do so. In fact, rarely did anyone even go out to the grocery store or to do other things without having a dhoti or sari, because people considered that that was their dress, except for the purpose of going to work, where either the work demanded, unless the work itself demanded it, this was our attire, this is our attire. In other words, why should a devotee be embarrassed about his spiritual identity? In the fourth chapter, I believe it is text 11 or 10, it mentions Vita and Vaya and Krodha. Yeah, I think so. Bhaya means what? Fear. So what is fear? Fear of one's spiritual identity, Prabhupada explains. That one cannot become fixed up in spiritual life unless one is fearless. Abhay, Prabhupada's name. Abhay Charanavinda. The lotus feet of the Lord make one fearless. Krishna consciousness makes one fearless. So why should we be afraid of the looks of others? Why should we be afraid of the words of others? Rather, it is they who are afraid. Because what is the ultimate cause of fear? Death. A devotee knows that he is not going to die. He's engaged in the eternal service of the eternal Lord. So if there's anyone who's fearless, it is a devotee. And there's only one other type of person who's not fearful. Who is that? A fool. A fool is not fearful because a fool doesn't realize the danger that is awaiting him. You see? So these karmis, although they may laugh at us and they may make fun of us for wearing dhotis or saris or tilak or shaved head, that's because they're fools. Because they don't realize that Yamaraj and his Yamadutas are going to swallow them one day, are going to grab them one day and hold them down into the hellish regions for punishment. So, the point I'm making is that the dress codes or all of the other activities, here they're mentioned, this is now for Grihasthas. What are the duties of Grihasthas? Now, a Grihastha can say, well, I was chanting Hare Krishna. That's why I didn't receive someone. For example, we were with Srila Prabhupada in Gorakhpur, and we had to visit someone. So Prabhupada wanted to visit a person, and the person was very ill, so instead we went to the secretary's home, the Grihastha's home. And the secretary's wife came out and told us that her husband was busy doing puja. which he was, no doubt. It's not as if he was doing something else. He was doing puja. So at that time, Prabhupada wasn't able to see him. So Prabhupada turned around and we walked back to where we were staying. And Prabhupada said, this is offensive mentality. This is a Kanista's mentality. That he does not know how to receive a Vaishnav. You see? So these moral instructions, you can call them, proper behavior, are not unimportant, and they cannot be neglected, because they themselves, if they are neglected, can easily give rise to offenses. And on the other hand, when one acts in a proper manner, then it puts one in the mood for Krishna bhakti. Just like it is mentioned, there's a verse which states that adhana apite danya sadava griha medina ya griha hi artha varyambu trina bhumishvarar vayaha. A person may not be very rich, and he may be very attached to family life. Now, for a grihastha, neither of these are very good. If he's not wealthy, he's got problems. And if he's too much attached, that's also problematic. However, it mentions here, one's family and house become highly glorified when saintly persons are present in their home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, a sitting place, and paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is glorified. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee of the Lord can make one perfect. Sarva Siddhi. It is the perfection of all activities. So a grihastha should not, therefore, neglect to invite devotees to his home. Those householders who put up so many barricades and rarely invite anyone to come in their home, who have, sometimes we see people, they're not grihasthas, they have dogs, right? And it says, beware of dog. To keep away anyone. This is a very good, you know, if you want to keep away bad people. But if it also, at the same time, keeps away good people, that is not very good. So, Kasyapa Muni is inquiring, did you fail to receive atiti? Atiti means an uninvited guest. And in this case, atitis are also sometimes considered to be who? Narayan himself. Atitis are considered to be the Supreme Lord. Why? Because it is considered to be a very pious act to receive nicely an uninvited guest. That doesn't mean someone is coming to rob you. But someone who is a proper person is an atiti, not some rascal who's coming in to plunder your house. So it is considered to be a pious act, which is giving you the opportunity to do service to the Lord. Prabhupada has mentioned here Brahmana Bhojana, for example. Feeding of the Brahmins is very good, because by feeding Brahmins or feeding a Vaishnava, just like when, who was it in Chaitanya Chaitamrita chose Haridas Thakur? Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya, in performing his rituals, he selected the best person, Haridas Thakur. And in doing so, he did not consider what is Haridas Thakur's material position. Because what was Haridas Thakur's material position? Haridas Thakur was a Muslim by birth. Haridas Thakur had no assets of any type. But still, Advaitacharya selected him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him. He said, Apani achare keha nakare prachar, prachara karena keha nakarena achar. Acharya pracharya namera karaha duid karya. Tumi sarva guru tumi, jagatarya arya. Some people speak very nicely, but their achar, their behavior is not good. Whereas others can act nicely, but they cannot speak properly. But here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching, and therefore you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. So we have to learn to follow the persons like Haridas Thakur, who behave very, very perfectly. And if we cannot be like Haridas Thakur, then we should be like Advaitacharya. Acharya means one who teaches by his example. Some persons are siddha, some persons are sadhakas. We are not siddhas, so we should follow the example of persons who at least act as sadhakas for our benefit. Advaitacharya is more than siddha. He's the Supreme Lord himself. He's Mahavishnu himself. But still he behaved like a sadhak, like a practicing devotee, to teach us what our duties are. So householders have a good opportunity. Here in this community there are so many householders. You should learn from these practical instructions. Don't take it that this is just something from the past history. If you're really smart, you will invite sadhus, brahmanas to your home, and you'll receive them nicely. See, Dhiradatta is saying, that's true. And he's ready to be invited. Brahmana Bhojana. He's saying, it's about time that this instruction was given. I've been fasting here for 3 months. So, yes, there's some verses in 17th chapter of the 11th canto. Yast vasakta matir gehi putra vitai sanaturaha strana kripana dhir mudho mama hamiti bhadyate. A grihastha whose heart is attached to hearth and home, who is always worried about money and children, and who is obsessed with sex, is a fool. Such a person is bound by the misconception of I and mine. And later on in the 17th chapter, one should not become attached to the members of one's family members. One should not become attached to the members of one's family, nor one should become bewildered by trying to maintain them. Even though one may be a householder, he should not be negligent in his devotion to the Lord. An intelligent householder should realize that even the unseen enjoyment promised in the future are as temporary as the so-called pleasures he has already seen. So, household life is not meant for increasing attachment. That's the opposite of spiritual benefit, because spiritual life means detachment. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu based his philosophy on two principles, based his teachings on two principles. What are they? Vairagya, vidya. Vairagya means renunciation, and vidya means transcendental knowledge. And the two are connected. Bhog Aishvarya Prashaktanam Vyaparita Chetasam. This Bhog and Aishvarya, enjoyment and opulence, do not allow one to become determined in devotional life. Therefore, renunciation. What does Bhagavad Gita say? You have a right to perform your actions. Not only do you have a right, you must do so, but you do not have a right to be attached to the results. You have to be detached. So, what is the reason why one is so attached? One thinks one will get enjoyment. But the statement is there that whatever enjoyments you may get from your attachment and family life will be no better than whatever pleasures you have seen in the past. What can a person hope to achieve by perfect family existence? If he lives through all of his duties in household life for 100 lifetimes without making any mistakes, what does he get? He gets the post of Brahma. That's as good as he can do. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, I don't want the position of Brahma. I don't want that position. I would rather be born You see? As a insignificant creature in the home of a Vaishnava than to be born with the big position of a Brahma. So, what is the point being made here in the 11th canto and here also? Not to encourage a householder simply to worry about earning and keeping up the family. No. Here it is mentioned, an intelligent householder should realize that he should not be negligent in his devotion to the Lord. That comes first. Not that you make all other duties and then with whatever time you have left, you fit in your rounds. First of all, make arrangements for good sadhana. That's your only business. That is your first business. Never mind whether you're a sannyasi, a brahmachari, a grihastha, or a vanaprastha, it doesn't matter. You first of all do what you have to do for your sadhana, and whatever else you can do thereafter, you do. That's really the way it is. Because if you neglect your sadhana, if you neglect your service to the Lord, then you will never be able to successfully perform your material duties anyway. And if you have strong spiritual life, Krishna will show you. He will help you. He will make the arrangements for your family situation to be much easier. We make such a big mistake when we think that somehow we can accomplish our goals materially at the expense of our sadhana. It's a huge, big mistake. Please, if you don't understand anything else, get this one straight. The priority is sadhana. Our first thing is good chanting of rounds, some association, attendance at the program, and make adjustments for other things. Don't adjust spiritual life, adjust the material side. Huh? Just like Prabhupada wrote me a principle about preaching and management, and he said management has to be adjusted or has to be done for the purpose of facilitating preaching. Good, successful preaching automatically leads to the necessity for management. Because why? You get results from good preaching. And those results have to be organized. That's called management. But what is the purpose of that management? To facilitate more preaching and to nicely organize the results of preaching. Management is the servant, management is the servant of preaching. Our mission is to preach. That's actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is a preaching mission. It's not just, you know, liberation mission. Because if it was only for liberation, then the Lord himself would not have come. He came for more. And not only that, actually, that there is no way to become liberated except by preaching. Why do you think that Krishna says at the end of the Gita that the person who preaches is most dear to me? Why did Srila Prabhupada push us so much to preach? It's not enough simply to maintain family life. In this age, if you simply try to maintain your family, you'll end up being irreligious. That's the nature of this age. It's Kali Yuga. It's full of inauspiciousness. What is the only good qualification in this age? That by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Now, then everything else can be rectified. Now, in the chanting of the holy names, there's three ways to chant. What are they? What are the three types of chanting? No. Japa, kirtan, and sankirtan. Of the three, japa, if this is the means for deliverance in this age, right? The holy name, chanting the holy name. It counteracts all the inauspiciousness. And of the three types of chanting, which is the most effective? Sankirtan. Congregational chanting. Why do you think Prabhupada had us all go out? We used to go out all day long and chant on the streets and distribute books the whole day. That's all we did. Now if you have to do other things, and even in those days, Prabhupada said, oh, you're a responsible person, you have a job, no harm. But then somehow or other, when you have opportunity, there must be some arrangement made for Sankirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do Sankirtan. When? At night, throughout the night? All of his followers at Navadvip, they were all householders. That means they had their various duties to do. But what would they do? In the evening, they would get together and do kirtan. They would come together and chant congregationally, because that's the religious process for this age. I remember sometimes we used to do that here. There was a time. Certainly when everybody gets together and chants and dances, then when you go to sleep, you sleep very nicely, soundly, have no anxieties. So, he's inducing. He's giving some inducement to his wife. What does he say? He says, have you failed to receive uninvited guests? Have you failed to light the sacrificial fire? Have you failed to feed the brahmanas? And Srila Prabhupada makes mention that you can go to the higher planets for these activities. Generally, grihastha's interests are for improving their material position. What is the best improvement in your material position? What do you think is the best improvement you can do materially? To go to the higher planets, not on this planet. Because what's the best part of Dallas to live in? North Dallas, they say? North Dallas is, you know, not even, you know, it's not even a, it's not even a higher middle planet. What to speak of a higher planet? It's pathetic. North Dallas is full of dog stools, dogs. People are, you know, walk in their homes with shoes. They live with animals in their homes. I mean, what do they grow? What can they grow? They can't even grow any in the winter. It's freezing cold. You think that this is a heavenly planet? So, Kasyapa Muni is telling Aditi, okay, maybe you're doing all these things for elevation to the higher planets. In other words, he's saying he knows his wife's nature is very materialistic. She has some. Why is she a materialistic person? Because she has been, she's a demigoddess. She's the queen of the demigods. It's very hard. She has some material desires. He sees that. So he's saying, is that why you're unhappy? Is that why you're unhappy? Then now we're going to see, she's going to answer in the next, tomorrow's text. She'll start to say, this is it. This is the reason. But we know that as long as a person is too much attached, Bhagavad Gita says, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indrayas charan atma vasyara videya atma prasadam abhidagachati. A person who is free from attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. That's the second chapter, text 62 of Bhagavad Gita. You have to be freed from attachment and aversion. Both. That means you have to be neutral. Who is neutral? The Lord is neutral. And you have to be like the Lord. You have to develop this godly nature. You're not attached, nor are you averse to something. Then why do you act? For the sake of performing your duty, for the benefit of showing the example to others. A wise man, a great person, acts, always does his duty for the sake of performing proper behavior which will guide other persons. But actually within his mind and heart, what is his desire? To develop love for Krishna. His desire is to develop love for Krishna. So, Kashyapa will guide his wife. A guru will guide his wife. A guru will guide his disciples in such a way as to develop love for Krishna. Just like we see Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami used to take so much interest. I've said this before. He would take so much interest in even the ordinary affairs of those whom he met. In Vrindavan, he would live in Vrindavan. He would ask people, how are you? How is your son? Did you get your daughter married? So many mundane, apparently mundane discussions he would have with the Vrajbasis. Why? Gradually, he would induce them to speak on Krishna, and he would speak on Krishna. And of course, he liked it because they were very special. We can imagine, even today, Vrajbasis are not ordinary. But what to speak of 500 years ago? They all have within their heart, they have natural love for Krishna, spontaneous love for Krishna. So he liked to be with them so much. And he was called what? Bara Goswami, big Goswami. He was the eldest Goswami. And he was just like a father. when even they would have quarrels, sometimes they would have disagreements or quarrels, they would wait for the Bharag Goswami to come and to solve the disagreement. If there was some dispute over land, dispute over animals, dispute over anything at all, any family disagreement, then they would wait and the Bharag Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, would come and he would settle it. And then he would give them some prescription about taking shelter of Krishna. So sometimes we may do like this. Sometimes we may associate with ordinary mundane people. We may engage them in some association and discussion with the idea of gradually connecting them to Krishna. And this is what is going to happen. Kasyapa Muni will gradually connect his wife to the Supreme Lord through inducing her. Through some, she has some material motive, he'll say, okay, here's how you achieve it. You see, you do like this. But ultimately his desire was to give her Krishna consciousness. That is the only desire of a genuine guru. So we will stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. Dear Dada.
I've been doing an analysis of the economic and social conditions that we live in the country. When you take into consideration the requirements of Sahaja Bhakti, I don't see how it's possible actually to be a successful householder unless you just have some kind of super duper karma to give you tons of money.
What?
If someone has a lot of money somewhere, somehow, then they can do it. But I don't see otherwise how someone can be a householder in this day and age under these conditions and at the same time be successful in Sadhana Bhakti, because the demands, just the economic demands, are so overwhelming.
He says he's been studying the socioeconomic situation in America. And he feels that unless someone is born with a gold spoon in their mouth, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to be a successful sadhaka in grihastha ashram. I think that I don't agree, of course. It would be suicidal for me to agree with you. I don't agree. I think it takes a tremendous effort and tremendous mental discipline, and discipline of every type. For example, there's nothing to stop a family from taking rest by 9 o'clock at night. There's nothing to stop them from doing so. If a husband and wife would go to sleep at 9 and get up at 3 o'clock, that means they could chant at least 8 to 10 rounds before Mangal Arati. They could easily chant 16 rounds and still have ample time to either cook or look after their children, even if the children were young children. But I don't find that householders have such discipline. That means supposing they get home at 6 o'clock at night, they'd have to just satisfy themselves that we're only going to be awake together for 3 hours. It doesn't allow for much time to be together, and therefore they often succumb to it. What it means is that a householder, they have to have tremendous determination to advance spiritually. That has to be their foremost concern. And the householder should work 5 days a week, and then on Saturday and Sunday there will be ample time to have a little bit more association. In other words, it's an austerity. It is an austerity. But if we say basic sadhana means chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, and attending some part of the morning program, if not all of it, I don't see why a householder cannot do so. Well, now, the other point is that a household is supposed to give 50% of his income. Maybe you're alluding to that. Even Srila Prabhupada said if it wasn't possible, let them at least maintain themselves honestly. But 16 rounds can definitely be done. The biggest key is going to bed early. That's the main thing in household life. It's the main thing in all spiritual life, is to take rest early. Staying up late is a great mistake. No one should really, now especially it's getting dark by 6 at the latest, if not earlier than 6. So it's natural to take, in the olden days when it got dark, people went to sleep. Okay, stay up till 7, 8, but why, beyond 9 o'clock, it makes no sense. It really doesn't make any sense to stay up past 9 o'clock. I mean, whatever you could have done after 9, you could easily do the next morning in better consciousness. It's just a question of reversing a habit, you know, and just once and for all making the change. Even better is to go to bed earlier. I mean, you see some people who are serious, like I've seen Shivaram Maharaj, he's maybe the most powerful sadhaka in our movement is Shivaram Maharaj. I mean, he's very, very powerful sadhana. And he, you know, if he sometimes he'll go to bed at 7:30. Satsarup Maharaj is also very, very strong sadhaka. They go to bed 7:30, 8 o'clock, and they get up at 1 o'clock. If they go to bed at 7:30, they get up at 12:30, 12:31, and then they'll chant, or they'll write, or they'll study. And they just, that's it. They just cut it off, stop the day. Now, there's sannyasis, they can do that. A grihastha can't do that. He has to be with husband, wife, or children. But again, I say, then, all right, then you don't have that degree of austerity, but then you can make some adjustment. But to stay up till 10, that's where the trouble starts. You stay up to 10, you get up at 4, you rush to Mangal Arati, and then you really don't have the liberty to chant from 5 to 7 in the morning because there are other duties a householder has at that time. A woman has to take care of the kids at that time. The man may have to do other things to get ready to go to work. Therefore, knowing that, you have to go to bed before 10. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. It's meant to be difficult. It's the austerity. It's just as a brahmachari has the austerity of not associating intimately with women. That's also an austerity. So because of that, he gets a little relaxation on the other type of austerity that a householder has. Every ashram has its austerities. And grihastha life doesn't mean you have a license to not have austerity. If you see, in the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 29, I think it is, there's a statement about brahmacharis and grihasthas. And brahmacharis, what is the main quality the Bhagavad Gita mentions about a brahmachari? Controlling the process of hearing and speaking. A brahmachari's main qualification is that he learns how to control the process of hearing and speaking. So that he only hears about Krishna and speaks about Krishna. And a grihastha is also mentioned there, that he also performs austerities, and such a grihastha, Prabhupada makes it very clear, his life is not here. Oh, here. I'll read it to you. Here. Similarly, the householders, for the brahmacharis, Prabhupada says, a brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hariya Namanu Kirtanam, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. He refrains himself from the vibrations of material sounds, and his hearing is engaged in the transcendental sound vibrations of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform such acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication, and meat eating are general tendencies of human society, but a regulated householder does not engage in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage on the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted, unattached sex life is also a kind of yajna because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency towards sense gratification for higher transcendental life. Chaitanya Chandra.
I was remembering before we opened the restaurant when we had a solid evening program here, and you were mentioning about Vaikuntharya having kirtan at night.
Yeah.
Thinking when I was hearing these Bhagavad Gita tapes that actually it would be nice to be able to make an experiment maybe to see if that would improve the community's consciousness to have reestablished an evening program.
Yes, it has been attempted. If you want to attempt it when you get back.
If you make it maybe a priority as a, you know.
Okay, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. I'll have to make a sacrifice. See, because I have my own evening program for 2 hours, but it's not this program. I'm going to have to then adjust my program for all of your sake. I may have to do that. But I do have my own program. I do 2 hours every evening, but I do it by myself. The problem is what I need for myself and what all of you need may be different. So that there's a limit to how much I have to keep sacrificing what I need to give everybody what they need. I do this. But I do it alone. Now, if I come out and do it with everyone, I'll have to stop doing what I'm doing. But if it's the only way to do it, maybe it's the best thing to do. I do it.
I know you do it.
The problem is that in order for everybody else to do it, I may have to do it with everybody. And then, even then, we'll see how many people come. I have my doubt. The pressures are very, very intense. You're right, actually the real relaxation is not to go home and kick back, but there's nothing more relaxing than a fired up kirtan. It gets all of your, you know, what? Gets all the knots out of the muscles and, huh? Oh yeah, gets all the stress out of the muscles and nerves, and then hearing, you know, enlivens one. That's true. I mean, it is a fact. What you are saying is undeniably true. Prabhupada said the morning and evening class is the Krishna conscious sandwich, morning evening program.
I was also, previously we used to have a program on Monday evenings at my house, and Dhananjay was helping me with the prasadam, and we offered like kind of a feast, in the sense of a full, at least amount of prasadam.
Right.
And the first time we did it, we had 76 devotees at the house. Mm-hmm. And the second time, there was like 71 devotees. And as long as we're offering prasadam, it seemed that everybody was real attracted to the kirtan there. So it would be a little factor that there would be some.
Okay. I will think about it, not on this visit, but the next time. By then, you will be back. And I will think about how it can be possible. I have no objection, because I'll find it just as enlivening as whatever I'm doing. And it's true, it will benefit others, whereas what I'm doing now indirectly benefits for what it gives me and what I can give to others later. But this will be my benefit and everybody else's. So let me meditate on it and how to induce everybody to do it. Because it will have to require some tricks to get everybody to cooperate. I'll think about how to do it. Yudhisthira, you had your hand up.
Lord Chaitanya preached to householders. Yet, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta started Gaudiya Math, as you were mentioning yesterday, there were no householders at all. We wouldn't be a part of the institution. So why was it set up that way? I mean, Lord Chaitanya didn't have a governing body. It was a very loosely structured movement.
Yeah.
At that time.
So then?
Why did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta? Did Srila Prabhupada ever comment on that?
What?
Gradual development of a need for an institution which would exclude householders, and then Srila Prabhupada changed the amount to include householders?
It's not so, what you're saying, in the sense that it has always been the tradition in India that sadhus, only renunciates live in a temple. That's always been the case. It was not started by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Lord Chaitanya's time, it was the same. Those who lived in ashrams were sadhu ashrams. They weren't grihasthas. The only thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did, which was more or less a continuation of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur established, was Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave shape, organizational shape, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur further gave shape to an institution of coordinated temples. But as far as living in the temples, where only brahmacharis live in the temples and sannyasis, that has always been the case. And even now, Prabhupada said, that still has to be the case. He said, unless men and women who are married live separately, they can't live in a temple. So even now we don't have the we have never changed that system. If a man or a woman wants to live in the temple, they cannot live together. They live together, then they have to live separately outside. Actually, we have not changed that. And that's the same in India. In India, the householders live outside the temple, around the temple. So we're having the same situation.
Didn't Bhagavan say that they have like 60,000 disciples or something like
that? Yeah, he had 60,000 disciples. So many grihasthas. Most of his disciples were grihasthas. But the point is that there were enough brahmacharis and others to do the services. Actually, everybody cooperated. I mean, it has always been like this. I don't think there's much difference, really. There's not much difference. The only difference is that in the Gaudiya month, even till today, if someone gets married, it's considered a fall down, and they don't take much responsibility for those people after they get married. Whereas Prabhupada recognized the tendency for association with the opposite sex and did not give such a negative connotation to married life. And in a sense encouraged the devotees that you could get married, thinking that it was better that they do that and be peaceful than to be agitated all the time.
And then he took the revolutionary step of taking those married couples and sending them around.
Because he knew that marriage will be a downfall. Because marriage is a downfall. Unless the married couple is totally absorbed in serving Guru and Krishna. So he took those married couples and made sure that they would serve Guru and Krishna by sending them out to open temples. And that way he guaranteed that they would not become attached, but they would remain detached. Because you can't preach. When you're preaching, you don't have the time to be attached. All right, let us stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.